radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Nahum, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
They had whoredoms because of their religion. She's the mistress of witchcraft. The word mistress means like lord. She's the one who controls it. Isn't that interesting? Lords and ladies. She's the mistress of the house. She's the one in charge of witchcraft. She's the one that told them that it was okay to take babies and offer them to the fire unto Molech. She's the one that spawns that kind of thing. And she's the one who whispers in the world's ears today and says you need to okay abortion because it's just the right thing to do. It's a human right. She's the one who we resist when we send a president to the United Nations who twice now has said that will not be acceptable. Now, our president has gone twice to the United Nations and shut down the whole idea of making it universally a human right to have an abortion. One man. One. And I know of no other that would have stood in the august halls of those arenas and said the things that he said. I'll tell you what. There ain't many like that. There ain't many like that. He is a reprieve from where we would have been today. And when he goes, I don't know what we're going to get. The Bible says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms. You know, Paul was the one who said he was sold under sin in Romans 7. He says, I was sold under sin. And what that means that we were solicited to it. Eventually, we gave into it, and it was very natural, okay, to do this, because this is the world we're in. It's all sinful, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil. It's all kind of synchronized and makes the devil's work easy. But when we succumb and don't see the Savior, and this is what's tragic about children not being nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, is that they go naturally where the world sends them, and then they wonder why everything's a mess and not working so well, and, you know, everything's sick and pining. Well, the reality is that what we have is we have a world that presses us into a mold, and then eventually we are on the auction block of slavery, like Hosea's wife Gomer, who went a-whoring into her past life's behaviors and eventually was sold, and thankfully Hosea was told, go buy her. Tell her, now you'll be a wife to me. Listen, the beauty of the Scriptures is without any kind of competition at all. You need to know your Bibles over and over and over. I can say that. I try to bring it here, but I want you to know this is all my hope and peace. Blood of Jesus, that's in here. Okay? All that. He's all my righteousness. And when I read it, I'm fortified for this day. It reminds me to keep my wits about me. It's like the smelling salts you need for each day these days. The Bible says that this woman sells nations through her whoredoms. And look at this. And the circle that are underlined, and families through her witchcraft. He wants nations, but he wants the building blocks of nations. He wants families. That's a scary thing to consider. Behold, I am against thee. Now, you'd never want that said over your life, would you? God himself saying, behold, I am against thee. You know, this world is at enmity with God. And you know what God does? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's awesome, isn't it? That whoever believes in him would not have to perish, but have eternal life. You and I have an awesome Father. He loves the people around us, and we're supposed to do that too. But loving people doesn't mean accepting bad behavior. It means that we try to walk them off the ledge because we understand there's an insanity about sin. Remember the prodigal son went into a far country? And the Bible says when he was about ready to eat the husks that the swine did eat, it says he came to himself. It's like he came to his senses. What am I doing here? You see, humans were created in the image of God. We bear that image. That's why the devil hates us. That's why God loves us. And when they vote in the election of where you're going to spend eternity, you got one for and one against. The only one hanging out there to make the decision is you. You break the tie. You want to go with the devil? You want to go with the Lord? I'll tell you what. Jesus is the only way through this mess. And we live in crazy times. Years ago, when I was starting out, I thought, man, how can I read this Bible and make it apply? And it was hard for me to get my mind around. Think about that. Because in the biblical times, man, they were in sandals and it was dusty. And then we had all these things like cars, TVs, and telephones, right? And that was about all we had back when I was a kid. But what we have now is even beyond that. And it makes the Bible look like, no, wait a minute. Wait, read it. It says all the world's going to look at two witnesses lying on the floor. Why? Because God knew we would be able to do that. Even though they're in Jerusalem, we all could watch them on your device you hold in your pocket right now. God knew that. All the world would become one, and it would come to a place, he said, where you will have to take a mark in your hand or your forehead, and then you could buy and sell. You can't buy and sell without it. Y'all are so used to now this concept of using a swipe on your card or getting online and buying on Amazon. By the way, that guy who's got that company, it's crazy. He's the richest man ever was, and he put the nativity, he put it in fictional history. Fiction. But I'm like, what? But it's the way this guy thinks. He relegates the truth to the Isle of Fiction on his site. So I say to you, you read on. It says, I'm against thee. Why? Why? Well, you know, when God brought down the fires on Sodom and Gomorrah, there were only four people that came out of that city, and one of them didn't get very far before they turned back. The other three of the three, only one of them really had their heart engaged to some degree, and he was slimed enough to where he doesn't really make much of an impact on our psyche, except that we're actually shocked when we see in the New Testament where it says, that just man. You're like, wait a minute, okay, all right, he's the just man, but what was he doing in that city in the first place? And God wiped that city out. Why? Because nobody was left. Well, you rapture out the church, and God is the one who knows how influential all of us are being. And if we're not having anything, like Lot didn't have a whole lot, you know, he had no influence. And I tell you what, evangelism's on hard times today. We're not witnessing and sharing our faith like we once did when it mattered, to the point where people realized, you know, hand-to-mouth food and, you know, poor and poverty and not overly stimulated, the ball games, the movies, the TV shows, the games that our kids go. We're so busy now that evangelism's like, well, I don't want to offend anybody, and we've got all this thought patrol going on, you know, in the world. We can't say anything. So you and I are living in hard times. So how effective, how salty is the church really today? When was the last time you personally really witnessed to somebody? That's the question, isn't it? Isn't that a question? I mean, we're just a handful here, but what about the whole church across America? Now it's getting caught up in the social gospel to the point where they think that a mission trip to build some kind of housing for people is evangelism or missions. It's not missions. It's certainly not Christian missions. It's a mission. I mean, you can do that with Docs Without Borders and things like that. But my point being, we've lost the plot in the church too. And it's because now we want us all to come together spiritually too, right? Let's all get along. And so churches are marketing to whatever will fill their pews, and they will say good is evil and evil is good. That's crazy. When I was a kid, the weirdest thing that you'd hear in churches at that time, preacher preaches message from the top of the church. If you get 500 people there, he'd climb up and bring his message from the top of the church. You know, it's not about, you know, the gimmick, we would say. But it's not even a gimmick anymore. Now it's to give up. Let's give up. Let's put the word church on the front, and people will give us the dignity and respect, and we will put a different label on right and wrong. The Bible says in verse 5, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. Now, when you read this, you need to recognize that what he's saying is that she is a harlot. In the book of Romans, it talks about worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. Now, I'm not going to make much of this because it's indelicate, but I want you to know this. The wickedness of false religion is that it sanctions immorality. That's why we have a lot of churches today that are compromising on such a large scale. And the Bible talks about this mistress of witchcraft. I want you to hear it. So just listen along and you can make a note if you want. It's Revelation 17. And this is John writing. He says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls. And he talked with me, saying, unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads, 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonderment. When you read that, it's like looking at a kind of a vortex, because it doesn't compute. You can't really put it together without the rest of the Bible. But we do see that the many waters is defined later in the chapter as being the nations that are made drunk. We do see that it says that the kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of what? Of her fornication. You realize, right, that the pope that we have right now is the first Jesuit pope that's ever been in place. He has recently been declared to, by a very close friend, to have denounced his belief in the physical resurrection. He doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He doesn't even believe Jesus was divine. That's what he believes. You can Google this. Okay? This is weird stuff. When you have a system, think about it. There's not just one. There's many that would love to have that position of, the head of the church. They're just in a good place to do it if they so choose. Now, I'm not saying everybody who's Catholic is understanding of all the nuances. I mean, people are brought up Catholic, and there's enough gospel in there for people to get saved. Because Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. You put your faith in that, you can be saved. And most of the Catholics I meet, they don't even believe in half of the things that their church teaches. But the problem is that they stay there, and it gives them a license to do a whole lot of stuff. A little backstory in their brain, they're thinking, well, it's a good gig. I can live like I want to, and I'll just go to purgatory for a while, but I'll get out. I'll take a hit down there so I can get up there. It's crazy. So the vortex that they get in is very insidious and scary, and I would not advise anybody to stay there if they're there. But the Bible talks about the seven heads and the 10 horns. You know what the seven heads were? We talked about that, the seven kingdoms. Started with Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and on down, and the double Roman Empire. So you got seven kingdoms. That's the seven heads. They were all there. 10 horns, that's going to be the last kingdom, the 10 toes of Daniel. All of this stuff is huge. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm like looking at this and I'm thinking, man, what is the Lord saying? He's saying, I'm against thee. I will discover thy skirt. You know, the nakedness. He says, it's going to be your nakedness that's seen. And the nakedness of humans is humiliating. He's talking to a spiritual entity. He's speaking to the mistress of witchcraft, the mother of harlots in one sense, because that's who we see her here called Babylon the Great. Okay, Babel, Babylon, Assyria, it's all there. And I want you to realize that he is going to humiliate Babylon the Great. Isaiah 14 says this, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Remember, she sold nations and kings and families. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And all shall speak and say unto thee, art thou become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread upon thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That's what we're talking about. Yes, a mother of harlots. And he is glad to give the woman worship. Why? Because that's what his deal was. Take of that tree, and you will be like God. And so he gives the queen of heaven, the Semiramis, that gives the Mary the credit. Hates not being seen. So in the book of Revelation, we find that all the world worships the beast, and they worship the dragon, finally.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.